Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing today? Or tonight, I should say.
I'm conscious. For now.
That's good. That's it. I'm going to take that as a positive.
Well, I didn't get as little sleep as you did, but I got...
I'm peppy, perky. I am ready to talk about The Simpsons. That's why we're here. Before we get started, I do want to mention, please, if you like the show, if you like what you hear, leave us a good review, rate us on iTunes. It really helps us out. It gets us in the ratings, lets people see the show. It, you know, gives it more exposure. We really, really appreciate it if you do that for us. Other Simpsons news before we get into the episode. Simpsons World debuted this week. I have not looked at it yet because they do not allow DirecTV logins yet. Some Fox has to work out a deal with DirecTV, I guess, to allow some kind of licensing issues to allow them to see the Simpsons World online. Matt, I believe you do have access through the magical world of your parents, your father.
I do. It is surprisingly nice so far. I haven't had any trouble with the one episode I tried to stream so far.
Okay. I've heard the only thing issues I've read is obviously there's lots of commercials.
Well, obviously. You, even though you're paying for TV, you can't get it commercial free.
I know. That's crazy, right?
Come on. What do you think? This is Hulu? Like, oh, wait. Never mind.
Yeah, it is exactly like Hulu. That's what people's complaints are. You know, long commercials to start off and then more commercials right after the intro. And then, you know, and they're all the same commercials. I think that's even the bigger problem. There's like three commercials and people watch 10 episodes in a row. They're seeing the same three commercials, you know, 30 times. Also, the other issue I heard is aspect ratio. I knew that during the marathon, some of them were being cut so that they'd fit on widescreen televisions, which you don't need to do that. It's okay. They were created for regular television aspect. You can just...
Yeah. We're used to black bars on the sides, guys.
Yeah, I don't understand it. But aside from that, it is every Simpsons episode at your disposal, so I'm excited to jump into it. I may be able to get in. I know I have somebody on the inside named Matt.
That's true. Black market logins. I'm selling them.
Well, not really. Just me. You guys don't. Matt's not selling that logins. Don't try and contact him.
Because you can't.
You can't. He's not available. This week's episode is Dead Putting Society. Pun on Dead Poet Society. It originally aired November 15th, 1990. Episode is 7F08, written by Jeff Martin, directed by Rich Moore. The chalkboard gag is, I am not a 32-year-old woman. Which, that's, you know. Nancy Cartwright, at the time, was, I guess, 32, which is kind of crazy. She was only 32.
Hey, to be fair, Bart can be anyone he wants to be.
It's true. It's interesting to think that Nancy Cartwright was only 32, and she's, like, seen all the success of The Simpsons for, like, most of her adult life. It's kind of crazy.
That's true. She does a great job, so.
She does. She does a very good job. The couch gag is basically the animals sit on the couch with them.
Aww.
Yeah, the animals. I can't complain too much. Let's see. The episode finished 35th in the ratings for this week. Nielsen rating of 14.3, approximately 13.3 households. Highest rated show on Fox that week.
Kicking Mary with Children down the curb.
And what else at the time? America's Most Wanted?
America's Most Wanted. Cops. The birth of reality TV.
Yeah. The episode begins with Homer mowing his lawn and struggling. He has one of what do you call? You know what you call those kind of mowers?
They're called reel mowers, R-E-E-L.
Oh, okay. If you watch The Simpsons, the older seasons, Homer's, they're always using those, the ones with the rotating blades, there's no motor.
Also it's featured on Leave It to Beaver in the 50s.
There you go. The 50s. So it's, you know, it's all manual powered and Homer's obviously struggling. Flanders makes a comment, you know, he's walking around outside and makes a comment about crabgrass. You know, he's trying to generally be helpful. He's trying to give him like some fertilizer, some kind of plant planning, landscaping stuff to help him with his lawn. And Homer obviously Not appreciative of that.
Well, of course not. He loves it. He calls it elf grass.
Yeah, that's. I think that's a good bit. We cut to Bart up in his room, doing a quote unquote science experiment, at watching a potato. And yes, 1 p.m. still just a potato. And Flanders invites Homer into the Rumpus Room for beer, which I think is a little out of character for Flanders.
Well, this is still early Flanders when he was supposed to be the perfect neighbor, not so much the super Christian.
Yeah, he is religious, but he's not necessarily, like, not drink beer religious. He still enjoys it. He, like, what is it? Where's the beer from? Norway or?
Holland, I believe.
Holland, yeah, that, yeah.
A lager now, not an ale, just so we're clear.
Yes. It's on draft, too, which, that's pretty nice.
Fancy.
Yeah, Rumpus Room, it's been 8 years. We see Homer count on his fingers, 8 years, since they've been neighbors, and yet never Homer's been down there. It's full of, like, pinball machines, pool tables, you know, what a man cave, what we picture a man cave to be, I imagine.
Back before they were all big screen televisions, video game systems, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. An older version of the same thing, but, you know, we see Maude. I think this is the first time we see Maude, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. And she has sandwiches, club sandwiches, you know. Flanders offers Homer a beer. I think it's Todd, or is it Rod?
It's Todd.
Todd, you know, brings him his science project. You know, and the Flanders are being the Flanders. They're being a good and happy family, you know, being nice to each other. And Homer takes this as, like, an offense to him. That's, for some reason, this is all, like, a facade. That Ned is just acting like all this to upset Homer on purpose.
Well, of course. I mean, why else would you and your kid talk to each other like you love you and your wife give you sandwiches? I mean, come on.
Yes, exactly. Why would you do that? Homer is like, you know, he gets upset and Flanders asks him to leave. Pretty politely, honestly. If I invite someone to my house and they just started yelling at me, I would not be so polite, honestly. But Homer, of course, finishes his beer and grabs a sandwich for the road. You know, the 8-foot walk between the houses. And we then cut to, like, a simultaneous bed, pillow talk scene between both Maude and Ned and Homer and Marge.
Well, real quick, I just want to bring attention to the comparisons Homer has between his life and Flanders' life. Because, obviously, Flanders' beer comes from farther away than Homer's beer, so it's better.
Yes.
And he and his kid love each other, which, you know, whatever, kids, who cares. But his wife's butt is higher than Marge's butt.
Now, I know, that's
quite the comparison from Homer there.
I really like that. It's very good. It gives us a little insight to how Homer views the world.
And how important butt height is.
Yeah, butt height. I'm not even sure what it necessarily means. Butt height? We're not going to get a discussion about butts.
Maybe it was an early 90s thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Homer's in bed with Marge and he's upset, trying to explain why he was so angry, and he really can't. Marge takes Flanders' side Flanders was right.
Yeah.
So Marge is perfectly right in taking that, you know, Flanders was just trying to be a nice guy. And Homer gets upset and goes outside to take a walk. At the same time, Ned and Maude we see them having the same kind of pillow chat. And Ned is, like, he's upset, which it gives this. And this is the first Flanders episode. We've seen Flanders briefly in mostly, I think, Call of the Simpsons was the only one where he had any significant time at all.
Sounds about
and
right.
And this is our first really look into his mindset, and it's really, he's almost so forgiving that it's like he's too forgiving,
pretty much. I mean, just the kind of guy who even if he has a very justifiable reason to be rude or, you know, mean in any way, he still feels bad about it. He definitely flung the old turn the other cheek test.
Yes. Which, you know, he says that he turned into, became a snarling beast. Which he really didn't become
that
a snarling
beast. That is the nicest snarling beast ever. I'll trade him yeah. for my snarling beast any of these days.
He calls Reverend Lovejoy and wakes up the Lovejoys, which they call back to this way later on. What episode is that? In Marge We Trust.
That's right, damn it.
Yeah. That's the we get the call back to Lovejoy being called a billion times by Flanders. But this is the first example of that in the show. In Flanders even quotes a Bible verse, Matthew 19:19, which I think is pretty interesting. Like, what other network television at the time had Bible verses in it?
Especially one that I feel like the people who were at this point still criticizing The Simpsons were the ones who were just like, yeah, it's terrible for you. They quote Bible. Wait, they did what now?
Yeah, like, it's really, I've read the Gospel According to The Simpsons. If you guys have read that.
That's a good book.
It's a very good book. It talks about, it's by Mark I. Pinsky. It talks really about kind of where religion, how religion fits into the show. And talks about how, like, how many conservative Christians at the time really denounced the show and, you know, considered it a really bad influence on children, and specifically Bart, you know, as the prime example. But if you look at network television, Flanders is, like, a great person, by all accounts, a family man, nice to everyone. I mean, his main fault is that he's too nice, and he's the main representation of Christianity on television, and he's, by all accounts, a great person.
It's true. He pretty much is the epitome of Christian teachings, and I think the people who criticized the show really looked at The Simpsons and didn't pay attention to side characters. Otherwise, they would have been going, yeah, that's exactly what we want.
Yeah, exactly. I think The Simpsons don't get enough credit for including... I think that The Simpsons has always been known for, like, being a more realistic look at modern families. And having a representation of Christianity and later, you know, Hinduism and Buddhism, and, you know, throughout the years, they always include representations of different faiths, and it shines a light on reality. There are people like this, they're real. And other kind of network shows, which Simpsons fans like The Simpsons because it is more, like, has a more realistic take on society.
I kind of feel like in later seasons, as they go down, they go down the path of a more evangelical Flanders, it kind of ruins this effect, because when Flanders starts out, he's just your average really nice neighbor who happens to be a Christian, and it's pretty obvious. It's like, they don't go into it a whole lot. Like, they don't make him super churchy in this episode. He's just a really nice guy, and you can tell that he believes those kind of things without them beating over the head with it. And in later seasons, that kind of goes away, and he becomes just the religious guy.
Yeah, which we will discuss as we hit those episodes, which I love Flanders episodes. So, but he's very upset, you know, that he quote unquote threw Homer out, was a snarling beast, and he gets advice from Lovejoy to a gentle word turneth away wrath, something along those lines from Lovejoy, who's half asleep and not really paying attention. And Flanders writes a letter, which is delightful. He delivers it to Homer, and we cut to Homer reading it to the family at the kitchen table. And, oh my god, it's so good. We're going to pull it for you, and here it is.
You are my brother. I love you. And yet, I feel a great sadness in my bosom. Wait, there's more.
I think that's terrible. A man opens his heart and you make fun of him.
Neighbors forever. Oh no! Dead Flanders.
What a sap.
Read the bosom part again, Dad.
Now, just a minute.
Bosom. That, yeah. Yeah. Any grown man who writes bosom without a sense of irony, it's funny.
Sorry, it just is.
It just is. And the whole family's laughing at it.
Even Marge,
even Marge, she tries to hide it, but she has this front of being upset. I mean, I think she really is upset that they're making fun of poor Flanders, but she does. It's still funny. She still had us like stifle laughter. Homer decides to take the family golfing, but Marge, let's see, Lisa has to practice for a math. What is it?
A math fair.
Math fair, right? So she can win a new protractor, which Homer makes a comment about. If we were only farmers, which not the same kind of tractor, Homer.
No, obviously it's a professional tractor. You need those in math all the time.
And Marge, what is Marge's excuse for staying home? I completely forgot. I don't think it matters.
Not really.
No, but they go to the Homer and Bart go mini golfing. Homer is terrible. Bart's pretty decent.
Homer resembles the monkey.
He does resemble the monkey that's at the mini golf place. The mini golf place is really nice mini golf place. I mean, you don't see the mini golf places anymore that have all those crazy statues that have all the holes cut through them and stuff like that. I've never seen an actual mini golf place that actually has that. Like, at most, I've seen ones that are like beach themed or tropical themed, or, you know, they have themes, but they don't have like. One's like a giant monkey, another one is a big skull, and another one is like tombstones. Like, I've never seen an actual themed mini golf place like that.
Next time we will take you to the mini golf over by the theme parks, because they have all of those things.
Really? I've driven by them, but the only ones I see are the ones with like palm trees on the side. And I've been to one over at on the coast, and it's fine. It's not bad, but it's not like the Happy Gilmore or the mini golf that we see in both Happy Gilmore and this. But they run into the Flanders, Ned and Todd, and they group up and they play.
You were trying to avoid saying they had a foursome.
I was avoid saying that they had a foursome because I do not want to say that, which apparently I have to say it, Matt. Thank you.
Bosom.
I'm going to laugh at that every time. They see that there's a tournament coming up. For children's mini golf tournament. And immediately, you know, Bart and Todd are interested, but then Homer and Ned see it and they immediately get the super competitive rivalry thing going. And Homer spurs on Flanders, and then Flanders is like, he gets, you know, gets upset, and, you know, they're, you know, the fruit of my loins can beat the fruit of your loins any day of the week, things like that.
Oh, Homer, spurring everyone on to bad behavior.
Yeah, exactly. It's all Homer's fault. Homer starts to train Bart by having to putt underneath Santa's little helper and stuff like that. There's a nice little scene of him doing it in the backyard, and Lisa and Marge both looking out and doing the groan. They're groaning at the same time. I love it when Lisa and Marge both have their, like, I don't know about this. They both have their little, I don't know. Bart has his putter, and then they go to a scene about him having to name his putter, which is a full-on homage parody of Full Metal Jacket, which is the second in this show, honestly, because Bart the General also had several Full Metal Jacket.
It's just the movie that keeps on giving.
Yeah, Stanley Kubrick. But we pulled that clip for you. We're going to play it for you right now.
What are you doing? That putter is to you what a bat is to a baseball player. What a violin is to the violin guy. Now, come on, give your putter a name.
What?
Come on, give it a name.
Mr. Putter.
Oh, you want to try a little harder, son? Come on, give it a girl's name.
Mom.
Your putter's name is Charlene.
Why?
It just is, that's why. Now, this is a picture of your enemy, Todd Flanders. Every day, I want you to spend 15 minutes staring at it and concentrating on how much you hate him and how glorious it will be when you and Charlene annihilate him.
Who's Charlene?
I'll show you who Charlene is. Now start hating.
Hi, Bart.
So, Charlene, this is the name of the putter.
I thought it was Mr. Putter. Maybe it was Mom.
I like Mom, honestly. Girl's name. Mom. It's pretty good. We see, and you know, Bart is kind of tentative about all this. He makes a point to Homer. He's like, I've never won anything in his life. We have a shot of all the participant ribbons in sixth place, and everybody gets a trophy day trophy. Which is kind of, it's funny, but it's also a little sad. Like, it harkens back to Bart Gets an F, where he's like, he tries, and it still doesn't work. But at this point, this is like my favorite sequence in this whole episode, with Bart and Lisa training, Bart and Lisa pairing up. I love it when we had a Bart and Lisa team up. And Lisa goes full on, basically, it's a lot of a Karate Kid references. I mean, Bart even does like the crane style pose with the putter on top of a trash can, which is easily recognizable, but the music is there, the kind of Eastern philosophy is there. But they go to, they start at the library, which is like, it's weird seeing a library without computers.
And a giant card catalog. I mean, I haven't used one of those since elementary school.
I know, here's a card catalog. What's a card catalog? I have to use, like, physical items? I can't just use a keyboard? And, like, Lisa knows everyone at the library. Just a lovely little touch.
And they're all like, old people. It's old people and Lisa.
Yeah, she's like, hey, Ralph. Hey, gang. They're like, hi, Lisa. Oh, that's so great. They get a whole bunch of books. Bart's like, how can we pay for these? And Lisa's like, we're going to borrow them.
Right. Borrow.
Right. Yeah. Bart literally thinks they're going to steal them. But then they go full on. She's trying to get him, like, empty his mind. Eastern philosophy, meditation, you know, things like that. Trying to get him into that mindset. And we pulled, it's a little longer, but it's the whole bit of him, of Bart, of Lisa trying to get through to Bart about what, you know, what meditation is, and him, like, trying to get into his head. It's really great. And we're going to play it for you right now.
I want you to shut off the logical part of your mind.
Okay.
Embrace nothingness.
You got it.
Become like an uncarved stone.
Done.
Bart! You're just pretending to know what I'm talking about.
True.
Well, it's very frustrating.
I'll bet.
Bart, I have a riddle for you. What's the sound of one hand clapping?
Piece of cake.
No, Bart, it's a 3,000-year-old riddle with no answer. It's supposed to clear your mind of conscious thought.
No answer? Lisa, listen up.
Ugh, let's try another one. If a tree falls in the woods and no one's around, does it make a sound?
Absolutely.
But Bart, how can sound exist if there's no one there to hear it?
Ooh.
It is time.
So, yeah. What's the sound of one hand clapping? That's the
obviously
sound. I still use that when people ask me that question. But they go practice at the mini golf place. And Lisa basically breaks it down all into geometry. Which Bart's amazed that they found a use for
it. And obviously her work at the math fair has paid off with the protractor and whatnot.
Precisely. Tie it back. And she just has Bart basically memorize where to hit, you know, where to hit the ball every single different hole. Like pink tombstone, third tentacle in the octopus. You know, make sure that all he has to know is angles. Where to work the angles.
To concentrate on his ability to completely clear his mind so that he doesn't think about it too hard.
Done. It's at this point that Homer and Ned escalate the rivalry. Homer basically goads Flanders into a bet. Calls him chicken.
It's quite the bet, too.
Yeah, they have to... First, Flanders tries to beg off and make it like a, you know, Marge's Blu-ray muffins versus Maude's wind chimes.
Woo, wind chimes. You can't put food up against something that's not food. Come on now.
You're beautiful. You're a beautiful child. So, eventually, and Homer tries to, you know, he keeps goading Flanders, call him a chicken, blah, 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 blah. And they end up settling on a bet where, so father of the child that doesn't win has to mow the other person's lawn in their wife's finest Sunday dress.
Which, seriously, there's no chance Homer ever fit in any of Marge's dresses. So my guess is he actually stole one from Patty and Selma because they're about his size.
Yeah, like, Marge is much skinnier than Homer. They would have to take out one of her dresses severely for
They'd have to tie or sew two of them together.
Maybe it's one of her pregnancy dresses.
Oh, that's true.
It could be that. I think that's a little workaround you could do. But they have Marge drop a contract it's down on writing, and then Marge jokingly asks if it's in blood, and Homer's
game if Flanders is.
Is, yeah, exactly. We get to Homer waiting throughout the night in Bart's bedroom as he sleeps. Which, I like the fact that Bart is appropriately terrified that someone's waiting for him to wake up at the foot of his bed.
Plus, before this, he tells Bart, for the first time, it's not okay to lose.
Oh man, I forgot to mention that. Yes, thank you for mentioning yes. I'm never going to tell you again, it is not okay to lose.
This is very important. This what essentially a bar bet I have with our neighbor that I hate. You're not allowed to lose.
Yeah, Homer's pretty awful in this episode. He's pretty reprehensible.
Well, I feel like Homer has several foils throughout the series. He has Flanders, which is the good neighbor versus Homer's, you know, average to below average neighbor, and then he has other foils like Barney. He's like, Barney's the drunk Homer could have been if it wasn't for Marge and his family. So whenever you have a Homer and Flanders episode, you know Homer's going to come out looking terrible.
Yeah, it's generally is what happens when they compare the two. It's generally Homer dragging Flanders into something else because of the way he is. But we meet the day of the tourney, and they have, like, golf announcers. They have a British golf announcer from KBBL, appropriately. I don't know how KBBL can get a British golf announcer. But they go through the tournament. They have, like, the appropriate golf kind of ambiance sounds, and all the golf clapping, all the crowd. The crowd is, you know, golf clapping whenever they make a good shot, but they're back and forth, and it's all down to the last
Remember,
hole.
Mercy is for the weak, Todd.
I know, Flanders, that's a pretty cutthroat thing for Flanders to say. You can tell that they're still kind of figuring out. Because I don't think they'd ever have Flanders do that in, like, the Flanders that he becomes. I don't think they'd ever have him yell that, even at his worst. Like, I think the only time it ever happens is in Hurricane Nettie, when he actually has a nervous breakdown.
I don't know. Even then, I don't think the stuff he says in Hurricane Nettie is nearly as bad as that.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Eventually, they get to the point where it's the last shot. They're at the last hole, and they're roughly the same distance away. And they kind of have...
They're two strokes on the happy side of par.
Happy...
For all you golf fans out there.
Back again. Matt and Robbie Sports Talk. They're roughly the same distance away, and they have a little heart-to-heart moment where, you know, Bart's like, they kind of just talk, and he's like, this is kind of crazy, and Todd's like, yeah, I don't feel great, and they're both like, we should just end this. We're the ones playing. We can do what we want, and they're like, they call it a draw.
It's a very mature moment for them.
Yeah, it is. They're like 10-year-old kids, and they're just like, you know what? We don't have to do this. We don't have to give in to our parents' pressure. If we don't want to play, we don't have to. We do this for fun. We are not having it. We don't get any part of this bet. But they call it a draw, and they split the prize money. Homer, like, vindictively, basically makes... He's like, "What?" Because of that, the father of the child that doesn't win has to do it. Neither of the kids technically won. They tied. So he's willing to do it just so Flanders has to do it too. But it turns out that Flanders had as cross-dressing in his past when he was in a fraternity, which is another thing along with the beer drinking that just kind of disappeared. that flame. I can never, I guess he could have gone to a Christian college and been in a frat there. I could see that.
True, but what kind of Christian college frat does cross-dressing? I mean,
I think they would allow it. If it's like, if it's a college, I think they'd, if it was very carefully structured, I could see it. True. And it depends on the college too. I think I could see it happening, but they kind of just, that disappears in the later Flanders lore. He's the whole beer drinking, the whole fraternity thing just kind of just gets glossed over, which is fine. It works in this episode fine, well enough. But the episode ends that way with kind of the crowd jeering on Homer, upset that he is actually bothered by this, and Flanders is kind of upbeat again and happy, and he kind of resets to the Flanders that, you know, the happy Flanders, the nice one. He's enjoying it. He's making the best of the situation, which I think is also the kind of a Ned Flanders thing. Anything else you want to mention about this episode, Matt?
That Lisa will be explaining that scene to a psychiatrist.
Oh, yes. That's pretty good. Yeah. Also, Homer talking about how the family stinks when he's talking to Marge. I forgot to mention that. But yeah, overall thoughts. This is a very good episode. This is really solid.
It really is, especially compared to Dance and Homer last week, which I always loved, but was kind of a letdown watching it again. This episode is even better. I mean, I'm a golf fan, especially miniature golf. It's one of my favorite things to do. So this helps out a lot, but this has a really great mix of Simpsons elements. It's got a very strong family element of interaction between all the family members. It's got interaction with the supporting characters and all the Flanderses. And it also has several allusions, to the Karate Kid, to the title is obvious reference to Dead Poets Society, Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
I mean, it does everything that The Simpsons does really well. The only thing this episode is possibly missing, and I could be wrong about this, is a guest star. I don't know if that British announcer was supposed to be somebody famous or not, but
no, he was just I'm not sure who did the voice, but it was one of the Harry Shearer, Hank Azaria, one of those guys.
Oh, okay.
So, it's not listed as a guest, any guests in it, so I imagine it was one of their normal cast just doing a British accent, which
and a very most good of them, one too.
Yeah, they're all, you know, generally among those, all the guys, they are so versatile that if they need an accent, one of them can do it. So I think it was one of them. It's a very joke heavy, a lot of allusions, like lots of good quotes, quick, tight, very good. We will rank it at the end of the show.
Ooh.
Yeah. Moving on to the news group's postings of the week. There's pretty interesting stuff. This is all at alt.tv.simpsons, the old news group for The Simpsons back in the 90s. It started shortly after their first season. You can find these on Google Groups. You can look back, and I just generally look back at the week at the episode air and see if there's anything interesting. I've got a few interesting things. One guy is, they're talking about this episode and saying the ending was cheesy, which this episode actually didn't have that cheesy of an ending. It was just them mowing the lawns and dresses. It was kind of actually more of a goofy ending than it was the cheesy ones. But one of the replies was, you know, the endings have always been cheesy. It just didn't start this year. Marge returning to Homer, Krusty vindicated, Simpsons adopting Santa's little helper, Homer gets his job back. The endings
those
have never...
Those are more cliched endings than cheesy endings.
Well, I think they mean emotional. I think he's just trying to say, you know, the emotional kind of status quo, kind of return to status quo thing, which this poster goes on to say, you know, it's not too, just doesn't stray too far from normal TV fare. But the interesting thing to me in this post is the fact that he asks, is it just me or is Bart no longer the focus of the show? And someone wanted to post a comparison of how many episodes Bart was the main character versus others. And I think that's interesting that already they're noticing that, because this is the first episode was, you know, Bart gets an F and is a Bart episode. And this is more of like a family episode of Flanders, really. A Flanders, the first major appearance of Flanders, Homer, an ensemble episode. But it's becoming a Homer show for the most part.
Well, I mean, I think at this point, it's not really a super Homer-leveled show. It's just they're trying to work in more interaction between the characters and make it more of an ensemble show. But I think they saw a trend that was in the making. And obviously in later seasons, it does become a heavily Homer-focused show.
Yeah, and I think it's very interesting that that people were already noticing that. The other thing I thought was really interesting this week is someone asking the Bartman, the song, was on the radio that week. Has anyone heard this song, Do the Bartman, in Pensacola, in sunny Florida? Top 8 at 8 Countdown. Pretty funny, I guess. Still not too keen on the idea of an album by The Simpsons. Haven't they been forced down the public's throat enough? Don't get me wrong, I love the show. When I heard that Matt Life and Hell Groening was making a series out of The Simpsons, this kind of ad nauseum mass marketing blitzkrieg was the last thing I ever imagined would happen. Of course, I do own about 5 Bart or other Simpsons t-shirts, the Bart doll from Burger King, etc., etc. I suppose I didn't help matters much by fueling a fire. Maybe the main thing I'm worried about is all the earmarks of a true fad. When something gets this big this fast, it always comes to an end, and when it comes to an end, it ends hard, fast, and for good. I think The Simpsons is one of the only truly entertaining programs on television, and I hate to see it drop into the ratings basement and disappear altogether just because everyone in the country got sick of them at once. Does anybody else feel this way, or am I just blowing smoke? If he only knew.
Yeah. It's like, yes, that was a danger, but thankfully, I think they were able to put enough effort into the show that it didn't happen.
Well, it only happens that way when the actual show itself, whenever the core content is bad. And today we don't even think about that anymore. Like, there's pop vinyl dolls for everything, and everyone likes them. They're cool. Having, like, little cool, like, knit tchotchkes. That's a word for them. Sure. Those little things. Little merch. Everyone likes that stuff now. It's omnipresent. Back then, this was kind of a very new thing. You know, the Simpsons wave of giant, all this merch that came out at once. And I think next week, I was looking ahead, there's someone listed, like, all the merch they had found, and it's a crazy amount of stuff. But because the show was always good, it didn't really matter. Like, they just kept pushing out great stuff. It doesn't matter how much the merch and tie-in stuff they pumped out, because the show was always there and was always reliably good. But that was pretty much there. There's the constant, there's always the quotes and the couch gag posts and all that stuff. Still more people trolling. I don't know. 1990 is just,
it is a constant on the internet.
It doesn't matter what time. If there's an internet, there's people trolling about how dare you like something. With that, I think we'll move over to our listener question of the week. Listener question this week, coming off Dancing Homer, is what is your favorite sports moment and why? And guys, do you want to make a disclaimer right here? Please do not just post a link to a YouTube video as your answer. Like, I understand using one as like here is an example, like I like this and this is why, here's a clip of it. That's good. Do not just post the clip. I'm not going to watch it. Limited amount of time in my week. But favorite sports moment. This was a very popular question. You guys get tons of great answers. I wish I could. Fortunately, I do not want to read these for like an hour at a time, but you guys did great. Great answers. Love it. Keep it up. First on Twitter, John Pierre. It feels like I read his answers every week, but I think that we're on the same kind of level. I agree with him a lot of the time. JPX900 on Twitter. Lisa the Greek. Bar Guy says, what do you got riding on this? The love of my daughter. Whoa, what a gambler. Bryant Flanders, read so deep. There's only one answer for this question. Homer at the bat. That's really all that needs to be said. Yes, Homer the Bat, very popular answer, and I understand. It's a great, great episode. I'm super excited for it when we finally get to it. Mike at a Mike Bloom type, the skiing trip in Little Big Mom, mainly because of stupid, sexy Flanders. It's like I'm wearing nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
We have Poppy at Little X, Little Monster X. Trim those sideburns, Mattingly. Which, yeah, again, Homer the Bat. We got Manzildo at Manzildo M. All the Denver Broncos, you just don't understand football, Marge. Which is you only move twice when Hank Scorpio gives Homer the Denver Broncos. It's so funny that the Denver Broncos have gone through two resurgences since that time, but at the time they were pretty bad. So
that's true. And Homer wanted the Cowboys, and look at where the Cowboys are now.
Yeah, they're doing okay this year. They have a great running game, and the Broncos are amazing this year. But they won Super Bowls, and now they're great. They were great in like the late 90s, and now they're great again. And it's very interesting how the cycles work. But Simpsons have picked on the Denver Broncos a lot. Moving on to Facebook, we have Daniel A. Bart and Lisa's heartfelt reconciliation in Lisa on Ice. I don't care if you are an only child, if that scene didn't bring a tear to your eye, you are not human. Simpsons brought the laughs with great consistency in its glory days, but the show was always at its best when it wore its heart on its sleeve. These emotional moments are part of what set The Simpsons apart from its contemporaries, who struggle to find that kind of balance. And of course, they bring us right back into hilarity with Homer sobbing, "Losers, they're both losers." Yeah. And also we have Nathan. My two favorite sports moments are not from sports episodes, but the first is man getting hit by football from A Star Is Burns, because it works on so many levels. It does. excuse me. Also, Lee Carvalho's putting challenge from Marge Be Not Proud. I recommend Feather Touch. You have selected Power Drive.
Okay, can someone explain to me why in a putting challenge there's even a driver club that you can select?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Balls in parking lot. Would you like to play again? You have selected no. Yeah. Great answers. You guys are knocking it out of the park. See, I got a little sports reference in there. See that, Matt?
That's pretty impressive. You know your sports ball.
I do know my sports ball. Matt, what is your answer?
You know me, I really like to pick the weird episodes that no one ever got, but Homer at the Bat is easily in my top five episodes of all time, so I really can't not pick it. I mean, you suck, Strawberry! Daryl! And the single tear just every time.
Poor Daryl Strawberry.
It gets me.
Knowing what happens later to Daryl Strawberry in life, I feel it makes me feel even worse.
Right. What about you, Robbie? What's your favorite?
I tip my hat generally. I did again. Lisa the Greek. My dad still bets on football. He didn't stop. He's even crazier now on a billion fantasy leagues. But I was Lisa. I was, you know, sitting next to my dad watching football, you know, doing my own betting. I was not, like, a prodigy like Lisa was, but I had that same experience, and I...
Did you make it better than 50-50?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at my picks.
Oh, okay.
Whenever I picked correctly, he would give me the money.
Wow.
Yeah. So, those were good weeks. Those are the best weeks. When you have a kid and you're suddenly getting $150, you're like, oh, hell yeah. Video games. But next week, favorite Flanders episode and why?
Ooh, oh, God, that's going to be so hard.
I know my answer already. This is a clear-cut one for me, but I sense a lot of deliberation out there. Flanders, I love all the Flanders episodes. They're all so good. And they're so different, too. All of them have really kind of different takes on things. Again, you can find... I post all this stuff on all our social media. So it's on our Twitter, which is at Simpsons Show Pod. You can follow us there. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. And if you want to give me a long answer, which I am totally cool with, you give me the longest answers you want. You can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. No limits there. Facebook works the same way. Twitter, you get the 140 character limit thing.
If you email us a dissertation, I will check it for grammar, just so you know.
I generally do that before I read it. I clean it up. So if you guys don't want me to edit it for grammar, I would say suggest not sending it or do it yourself. With that, it is time for the segment we end every episode with. It is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever. It's a segment where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of all the episodes and how good they are compared to all the others. Really, it's just an excuse for us to talk about what makes a good Simpsons episode. Where does this one go, Matt?
See, where it starts out is pretty easy, because it's obviously towards the top, but finding a single slot for it, it's either going to be number two or number three for me, because I definitely think it's better than Simpson and Delilah. I don't think it's quite as good as Bart Gets an F, but between it and Two Cars in Every Garage and Three Eyes in Every Fish, it's tough. What do you think?
Number two.
Number two?
I think it's okay. Number two. I think it's better than Two Cars in Every... I think it's... Two Cars has more allusions, I mean, with all the Citizen Kane stuff and all the, you know, political satire. But this is jokier, and the quotes are, like, still just a potato, and the elf grass, and, you know, your wife's butt is higher than my wife's butt. Like,
seriously, guys, finding just three clips for this was almost impossible.
Yeah, it's really difficult. There's, you know, we are up, there's like five or six of them, and we're like, which do we do? But yeah, I would say it's not better than Bart Gets an F. Bart Gets an F is, man, looking like ranking, you realize how good an episode that really is. It works on so many levels, but two is still a very good showing. But yeah, number two, not best episode ever, but number two, solid placing for Dead Pudding Society. You can find this list on our website, which is thesimpsonshow.com. Very simple. You can find it all, or every new episode there. You can download them, stream them, find links to our social media, or you can subscribe through RSS there. You can find a link to donate if you want to donate to the podcast. We'd really appreciate it. This is purely a labor of love. If you want to donate, we will thank you on the show. I think that will wrap us up for the day. You can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Serial. It's MixmasterCereal. You see all the stuff I get up to online there. Matt does not participate in social media. Don't look for him.
That's true, but if you're out at the mini golf here in Orlando, you can stick messages in all of the castles, and I will probably find it eventually.
It's an elaborate game. It's like the Da Vinci Code.
Or the game.
Well, that's a little darker, but sure. With that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.